I am here in studio with State Representative Joan Moschino of Hull. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, it's great to be with you.
And if you hear the noise in the background, folks, we got the windows open here. They're doing a little work in the station, so that you might hear some equipment.
You look pretty spiffy. I have to say, the renovations look amazing.
Isn't it great what they've done here?
It's
Thank
beautiful.
You, One-Stop Painting and Renovating. I sing your jingle in my sleep. And to Jimmy and James, you're doing all the work. Well, you know, busy time here in the state legislature. I think one of the papers said, and now it's a wild rush to the end of the fiscal year to get everything done. As we've spoken before many times throughout the months, how many bills got filed this season? Maybe 7,000, maybe more?
It was well over 6,000 bills got filed this year. And, you know, it's just gotten down to the time where it's sharp elbows. You know, there's a lot of really good legislation out there and just trying to, you know, show what's relevant and what's timely. But importantly, what's been vetted.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, hopefully we'll see that housing bond bill come forward by the end of May. And there's a big economic development bill that will be helpful for a lot of the communities down in our neck of the woods. So a lot of good stuff hopefully coming.
What about budget-wise? How are the numbers looking? Are they looking any better? I know that there have been numbers have been less than anticipated in the last couple of months.
Correct. So we have been, the collection, revenues have been collected, remained strong, just not at what was projected.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you who are, you know, municipal nerds, you know that it really is basically a level funded budget. But still, the House debated budget just last week. It was just shy of $58 billion. And I have to say, for constrained revenue scenarios, it really invests in people and services. And I really think about it as investments in things that unlock economic potential. So like childcare, right? Childcare is economic potential for families, right? So if you can get out there and work at your full potential. Things like the T, so you can get to work, and transportation, mm-hmm. Really starting to see those investments as well. And I was pretty excited to see the investments in what I refer to as the green budget line items. So things around climate and DCR and a lot of the spaces that we come to really treasure and value, but that really tackle a lot of our climate work and our sustainability, environmental health, things like that. So
that's
it's exciting.
And you had mentioned before when you've been on that you're very much invested in the whole idea of a green bank, and this would help people locally very much on the micro level. Can you explain that again?
So essentially, when we talk about climate change, and what we're really talking about is how we decarbonize, reduce emissions in all aspects of our economy. And one of the big sectors is how we heat buildings.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, most buildings, if you're thinking about big corporate or an industry or companies, you know, they have great, strong relationships, a lot of access to money, and they plan ahead. But when you're talking about just residences, regular people like us, you know, a lot of times, you know, we're only able to do smaller projects. And so it's really about making those financial innovations that support letting people borrow inexpensive money so that when they're fixing their, you know, want to put solar panels on, maybe they have to fix the roof first, or you want to put in an electric vehicle charger. Well, you can't do that with knob and tube wiring. And or even just improved windows for resilience, mm-hmm. and weatherization, or anything along those lines. And it's expensive to do home renovations. So it's so hugely important to do those financial pieces, those financial innovations to eliminate risk so that banks will lend inexpensive money to regular people. It's that basic.
Tell me, explain, what is Denim Day?
Oh, Denim Day. So the Mass House of Representatives for the past 8 years has celebrated Denim Day. And what that was is an homage to women who are the victims of sexual assault. And simply stated, it's the moment when we celebrate you know, the fact that women can come forward, that there are services to support them. But most importantly, most simply stated, we believe women. when they come forward and complain of sexual assault. And we should be proud of our districts. You know, all of our police departments have initiatives around sexual assault, sexual violence. Our DAs have these programs to help victims through the process. And we've done a tremendous amount of work. But there's still that theme out there that we just don't believe women. And Denim Day is the moment when we come forward and we say, no, we stop here. We believe women.
Did the name come from?
So maybe you all remember the case in Italy that went up through their equivalent of the Supreme Court. And what came down was, no, we think she consented because she was wearing such tight jeans that there's no way that she had to help get them off.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment was born a movement around Denim Day to really uplift victims of sexual assault and say, no, we believe you when you complain of sexual assault. We mm-hmm. believe you.
Very important. And speaking of women's issues, you're a member of the Women's Caucus, the legislature. And I believe, isn't there something going on now about 50th
anniversary
successes
yes,
of women?
Yes, yes. So 50 years ago, the Women's Caucus was formed in the House of Representatives. Actually, it's bicameral. It's both House and Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And we came together as women legislators to uplift each other and to support each other's initiatives to mentor, to help women be successful as legislators, but also to push forward some of their legislation that was unique to women and children. Well, 50 years later, the caucus continues to go strong. It actually is funded with a line item and has an executive director to both support women legislators in Massachusetts, but in fact to support all women, internal and external to the House, in politics and government. And it's a tremendous group, fantastic women legislators. And one of the focuses has been to sort of look back and say, you know, where have we come?
Mm-hmm.
And how many women are there? So it turns out if there's 10,000 men that have been elected to the Massachusetts legislature, I'm number 195. As a woman.
That's
the 195th woman. And what's interesting is I'm actually the third woman to represent 3rd Plymouth District. So I'm sure all of our listeners fondly remember Mary Jeanette Murray.
Yes, she's a very dynamic
iconic person. I mean, she just took such good care of this district and the people here. She loved Cohasset. She loved being a Marine, and she loved the people here. And she really took care of everyone. And then, of course, the other woman was from Hingham, Carolyn Stouffer. She only served one term.
Didn't know her.
Well, if you remember, we used to be, the legislature was 400+, and then they brought it down to the House down to 160, and so the redistricting, and she lost to Mary Jeanette. But another fabulous woman who served our district. So I'm number three. I'm 195 out of.
You
women.
Should get a little patch on your on your jacket that says it. If there are two or three bills that you're really championing to try to get through this session, what would those be?
So there's actually three.
Okay.
So one of them is about drought management, which with climate change and, you know, we're all public water supplies down on the South Shore, and we struggle, you know, to manage drought. That's one just no-brainer. Everybody's on board, and we're hoping that will really help our, you know, all of the municipalities in our neck of the wood to just to manage it fairly for our potable water supply, mm-hmm. but also for our sustainability of all of our environment. That's one. The second one has to do with permanent supportive housing. And it's just to create a flexible pool fund to put the money in for support services so that people are successful in housing, keeps them out of shelter. That is a hugely hot topic right now, but it really supports people in housing and keeps them out of emergency shelter, and really helps people to be just successful.
Mm-hmm.
And the social determinants are off the charts positive. And then, of course, the other bill is our favorite, House 74 and Senate 34 on to support the streaming services and the PEG channels. It's really
right.
to support the
it's
PEG
an
channel.
Important issue.
It's just about making sure that we have a sustainable revenue source for all of the local programming. You know, we're in town meeting season, and for those of you who cannot get there to do your civic duty, you know, you should be able to watch it, and it's streamed mm-hmm. through these PEG channels, through the PEG access facilities, and it's really about, you know, public entertainment and government, and hugely important right now. So you can watch and participate and engage in what's going on in your communities. Really quick, May 6th, I think there's at least 8 town meetings, in my district. So please show up for Hull and for Cohasset. And if there's a town meeting in your neck of the woods, make sure you go. There's a lot of important stuff
Norwell,
going on.
Norwell,
right
Hanover,
now.
Rockland, what, Whitman, Hanson. I think it's, I'd have to look at the list, but it's like town meeting Lollapalooza night. But as always, thank you for stopping by and letting us know what's happening in your district and at the State House. Again, that's State Representative Joan Moschino from Hull. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Have a great day, everyone.
You too.